Today's reading begins in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 1. Acts, chapter 1, verse 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes, and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these, with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. In those days Peter stood up among the brothers, the company of persons was in all about 120, and said, Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us, and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man acquired a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it was written in the book of Psalms, May his camp become desolate, and let there be none to dwell in it, and let another take his office. So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection. And they put forward two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place. And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in his own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians? We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, What does this mean? But others were mocking, saying, They are filled with new wine. So as we've begun the book of Acts, we see that it is written by Luke, and he's writing to Theophilus, and he has already written a gospel account in which he has shared that with Theophilus. And he is telling him that he's already dealt with everything that Jesus said and everything he did. Now he's going to deal with the apostles and their actions as ambassadors for Christ sent out into the world. So we have the ascension of Christ, and they watch him ascend after he has given them this mandate to stay in Jerusalem and wait for power to come from on high. And they have to be a little bit urged by angels in order for them to continue on their way. He asks the question, why do you stand here looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go. So they go back and they go to the mount called Olivet near Jerusalem. They're in this upper room and they're devoting themselves to prayer along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. And we're already beginning to see some changes from the gospel accounts in these individuals. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus has had a profound effect on them already. We see the brothers of Jesus here. We see many people gathered together, 120 in all. And Peter stands up and begins to reason, quoting scripture. I think this is already a big change in Peter. Remember that Peter, on the day in which Jesus was arrested, denied him three times, even though he said that he would never do such a thing. And he went out and wept bitterly after denying Christ those three times and the rooster crowing. Peter has always been impulsive, a little bit brash, quick to speak. And now we're seeing something different. We're seeing a more reasoned Peter. We're seeing a Peter that is considering the scriptures and the outcome of those things carefully. And he quotes two passages of scripture and uses them to make the conclusion that they need to choose another apostle to replace Judas. And what they do is they end up praying that the Lord make a selection and they cast lots. And that sounds like gambling when you put it down to it that way, but it's not gambling. The Lord is making a selection. The day of Pentecost does come, and they are still together in one place. And there comes from heaven this sound like a mighty rushing wind. It fills the house. These tongues as of fire appear and rest on each one of them. They're filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. But this event was not localized to just a room because it's noticed by others. It says here that there were devout men in Jerusalem from every nation under heaven, and at this sound a multitude came together. So the sound was, I don't know, loud enough or widespread enough to capture the attention of many, many peoples to make them gather together to wonder what is going on. This is not a normal occurrence. This is not something they could identify as, even a rare happening of weather. This was something different and unique. And when they hear the apostles speaking, now that they've received the Holy Spirit, they're wondering, how is it that we all hear in our own native language? And it mentions a lot of different places and a lot of different languages that they would have spoken. They're not saying, hey, these guys are speaking Hebrew and we still understand Hebrew. They're not saying, hey, these guys are speaking Greek and, well, we understand Greek the way the world might understand English in a large portion of it. No. No, they're saying their native language. These are Jews, but they have grown up in other areas of the world besides Jerusalem, and because of that, they have a different native language. So at one moment, one person speaks, and many people hear in their own language. It is truly a miraculous event. And so they're asking that question, what does this mean? In other words, what is the meaning of this? We've had this mighty wind that caught our attention. We've all come together, and we see this miraculous event happening. But there were those that mocked. And isn't there always a portion of the crowd that mocks? They always did that with Jesus. Most of the crowd could be there for some reason that is genuine, but there will always be that portion that mocks. I don't know how big a portion of the crowd it was, but it says others mocking said they are filled with new wine, which does not explain anything about the sound of a wind or people speaking and others hearing in their own native language. Them being drunk with new wine wouldn't have anything to do with that whatsoever. It's just an accusation in order to try to throw dirt on somebody and get others to not listen. So that concludes our reading for today. Tomorrow we will read through Peter's first sermon on the day of Pentecost. Thank you for listening. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.